First of all, it's traditional to pick up the notices if we have any.
That's taken me on the hop, hasn't it? I don't think there are any at the moment.
Got the quiz on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
We have a quiz on Tuesday.
Right.
If we have a quiz on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What time is it? 7:30 or 8? 8, isn't it?
8.
Right.
Tuesday at 8.
Tuesday at 8, yeah.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday, we've got a Deacon Stroke Leaders meeting.
Yeah.
All right.
7:30.
Yeah.
But I'll send a reminder out about that. But apart from that, that's, I think, I'm looking for Jill for inspiration.
Right. So we'll continue then. And our scene this morning is, hang on, I've got this on my... there he says, announcements, call to worship. We're going to talk about unity today. We're all separated by screens. But today is, I believe last week was the week of Christian unity. So I thought we'd have a look at that as a subject. And the one question is, do we all have to be the same to be in unity? So let's start with a hymn, and it's As We Are Gathered, Jesus Is Here. Hopefully the system plays it through twice.
You're muted, Ray.
There you go. Is that better?
Yes.
Good.
We never let reading at the best of times.
Yeah, it just reminds me how near I am to being cut off from the rest of you, which isn't a good place for a minister to be. Praise of praise. And I can make no apology for doing what we did last time, because we all have things we want to praise God for. And we look back over the past week, the past month, and has God been with us? And I would suggest he has. And he's blessed us. And yet we mourn about lockdown and the separation. But God is still faithful, and he's with us, and he's blessing us. So individually, I'd just like us to say, you know, thank you to God because of what he's done for you. So shall we pray?
I think people need to unmute.
Oh, we need to get people off mute.
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Bottom left. You can do it.
Brenda, can you unmute everybody?
No, people have to unmute themselves if they want to.
All right, fair enough. You hear that?
Can you all unmute yourself?
All right.
If you want to. So we pray. And please feel free. Thank you, Father, because you're with us and have been with us all through this difficult period.
Thank you, Father, for the progress that's been made over the last month with the vaccination programme. However, it is pulled together to ensure that as many people as possible have been vaccinated.
Thank you, Lord, for being with my sister-in-law, Mavis, as she had some after effects from the injection. Pray, Lord, that you continue to watch over everybody who is suffering at this time. And thank you for giving me the strength to get through this week. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for being with us and also for all the people who are helping us through these difficult days, particularly the NHS staff in the local hospital and at the rugby ground, all those that are responsible for giving us the vaccinations that give us so much comfort in these difficult days. Amen.
Be with the relatives of those who have had parts of their family passing away this week. I pray in particular for one of my dear friends down in Weymouth. Lord, be with her son and family and all those who befriended her. She worked in Stockton Heath Library for a great many years and lots of people locally knew her. Thanks, Lord, for being with her family. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the kindness of strangers, all the volunteers who are helping with the vaccination programme, doing a wonderful job, and they make everybody feel so secure. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for lighter nights. The days are getting longer, getting a little bit stronger. We know that spring is just around the corner.
Thank you, Lord, for the support and prayers of friends when we face difficulties.
Thank you, Lord, for the croakers that I saw bursting through this morning.
Mm-hmm. And so we thank you, Father, that we can bring our prayers of praise to you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not sure, Brenda, whether we were talking about people as victims or volunteers, but you said you were going to find some volunteers to do the readings. And this is the first one, which is Acts chapter 2.
Acts
Right, well, I've volunteered myself. So this is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. I was a bit surprised, Dre, but you the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Checking I got the right reading.
Yes, you have.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?"
Thank you. And there is one verse that I'm just going to add on that, which is the last verse, or verse 13. It some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Does anybody remember the Tower of Babel? I don't even remember personally. I mean, remember the incident where the children of Israel decided to build a tower so that they could get closer to God. And they were building the tower, and God said, "How can we confuse these people? I know, we'll give them all different languages." And that's said to be the beginnings of why we in different countries have different languages. So God, in order to confuse people, gave them different languages. And then we come to Acts chapter 2. And if we were to read the version of the Bible that St. Paul used, the authorized version, you will find that it says they were all in one place with one accord. So there's something being taken out of the new improved version. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together with one accord. Now, how long were they in the upper room as they were commanded by Jesus? And the experts say somewhere between 8 and 10 days. Imagine being in this group for 10 days. I mean, 40 minutes is going to be pushing it, but 10 days, what did they talk about? And just let your imagination run. Did they talk about what had happened over the past 3 years? Did they talk about how they felt? No, that'd be the second day, wouldn't it? Because the disciples will be into facts for the first day and feelings after that. I wonder how long it was before we got to Peter being accused of denying Jesus 3 times. That would have come up, wouldn't it? And Peter no doubt would have said, "Yes, you're right, but he did forgive me. And secondly, I was there to deny him. You weren't, you'd gone." So they'd have all those discussions. And as the days went by, I wonder where they ended up. We know they ended up with one accord, but they certainly weren't all the same. They still had a doctor, Luke. They still had the fisherman. Some were educated, some weren't. Some had strong views and stood out at the front, others didn't. So during that period, they didn't change, but they began to have one mind. And that mind, I believe, was listening to Jesus. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes? And then we come to chapter 2. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they started to speak in foreign tongues. And they found that everybody, all the pilgrims from the various countries, could now hear and understand what they were saying. So the same spirit that caused confusion back over there in Babel brought people together by breaking the barrier of different languages. And they were marveling, how can we be understanding what these people are saying? And then some said, they've had too much wine. Now, I'm prepared to try it, but presumably on that principle, if I have a few bottles of French wine, I'll start to speak fluent French. Yeah? And if I have several bottles of German wine, I'll be able to speak fluent German. How stupid can people be? But what we had was a group of people in one mind, in one place, and the Holy Spirit fell. I look around at the screens, and theoretically we're all in one place, and I hope you're enjoying my screen. But are we in one mind? What's on your mind at the moment? Are you thinking about, when's this guy going to shut up? Or are you going to be thinking about lunch? Or are you thinking about, I would suggest that if we were thinking and we're in one mind, we would be absolutely in the right place for the Holy Spirit to fall and to turn Grappen Hall and parts of the Devon upside down. So I'll leave it at that now, and we're going to have the second hymn, which is Bind Us Together.
Together, Lord, by us together, Lord, by us together, we stand.
Okay, we're now going to have our second reading, which is from Acts chapter 10. And yes, it is about Peter, and yes, it is about the sheet coming down from heaven.
Starting to read at verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I have never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened 3 times, and immediately the sheep was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, 3 men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them."
Thank you. So, who were the most committed enemies in those times? Perhaps it was the Jews and the Gentiles. The Gentiles hated the Jews. The Jews hated the Gentiles. Except incidents like the Good Samaritan, which showed that Jesus is prepared to break down all those barriers. And the incident just before Peter having his vision was that a man called Cornelius, and he was a senior man in the army, he was also a man of God, and he opened his house for people to worship God, but he was a Gentile. And he was told by the Holy Spirit to send people to find Peter and ask Peter to come and minister to them. Why would Cornelius do that? Because we don't mix with the Jews. But he was a man of God, and he obeyed the Spirit. And he sent men to go and find Peter. The Holy Spirit, of course, knowing that Peter would refuse to meet with them. So we now read that Peter went on the roof to wait for dinner to be served, and he had a vision of a sheep coming down with all the unclean animals that the Jews were not allowed to eat. And the voice said, "Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "No, we can't do that. Not allowed." And in true tradition, this happened 3 times. It seems like everything has to happen 3 times to get into Peter's head fully. And eventually, as he was thinking about this vision, the Spirit spoke to him. "There are men downstairs looking for you. Go with them." And it says he went down and he was met by these people. And guess what? He invited them into the house. You don't do well that with Gentiles, do you? But Peter did, because he'd been told by God that anything that he thought was unclean may not necessarily be so. And so Peter went with the men to Cornelius's house. And when he got there, he found a group of committed Christians worshipping God. And he spoke to them. Peter ministered to them. And then the Holy Spirit fell on them. Why? Because they were in one place, in one mind. And the Holy Spirit blessed them. And Cornelius said to Peter, is there any reason why we can't be baptized? And so Peter baptized them. Can you just think about the rest of the Jews looking on and thinking, Peter, you shouldn't be doing this. It's absolutely wrong. But Peter baptized them. And they had a tremendous time as the Holy Spirit worked with them. And we read that when Peter got back to Jerusalem, he was severely criticized. So what was all this about? What it was about was that Paul, or Saul, had been met on the Damascus Road. He'd accepted Christ as his saviour. And he was called by God to go and minister and work with the Gentiles. Now, it was normal, and it would be normal, for Paul to go and speak to the leader of the Jews, or the Jewish church, called Peter, and say, I'm being called by God to go and minister to the Gentiles. And what would Peter have said before this incident? He would have said, Paul, you are totally wrong. You must not go. You are not allowed to go. But after this incident, Peter would say, you go with my blessing. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And the Holy Spirit jumps into action when we as individuals start to have one accord, one spirit, one driving force. And we are all different. You will have beliefs that I won't have. Doesn't matter. You'll do things and live a lifestyle that I may not live. Doesn't matter. What matters is that we together come before God and we get to that point of being in one accord so that the Holy Spirit can fall. To me, that is what unity is about. So we're going to move to our next hymn before we come to our act of communion. Break thou the bread of life.
As the dear friend of those.
Thank you. At the Last Supper, Jesus took the bread and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you." Put yourself in the position of the disciples. What on earth was he talking about? What did he mean, "This is my body broken for you"? You see, they didn't know, but we know, that it was the Last Supper. It was the last time they would be in fellowship with Jesus at supper time. And this was the last time. We call it the Last Supper. They called it, well, it's supper, isn't it? And then Jesus starts using these strange words. "And this is my blood which is shed for you." How strange. And they started to question him. Well, what do you mean? So the beginnings of the communion service were that Last Supper. And we were instructed to take communion whenever we wanted to. Nobody said in scripture every day, every week, every month. It doesn't have to be the first Sunday. It doesn't have to be any time. We can have communion whenever we want. But do it in remembrance of me. Now, Paul had some problems with the Corinthians, and who didn't? And they were starting to eat things that had been sacrificed and blessed, and they were on the sacrificial table. And Paul had a little go at them about that and said, "You mustn't do this." But let's read what he says afterwards. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Until he comes. And so we ask for God's blessing on the bread. Father, we thank you that you were willing to go to the cross and die for our sins. And as we take this bread, we remember and we declare your death until you come again. We eat and we're thankful. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." So we take the cup, we drink it, and we wait for the coming of the Lord. We drink and are thankful. And we're going to continue in prayer as we come to our prayers of intercession. This is the family time. This is when we can talk to God, talk to each other, and express what's on our mind, those things that trouble us, so that we can put them at God's feet and believe that he'll take them and deal with them in faith. But this is not faith which is just stupidity. This is faith having seen previously what God can and does do. So again, just one line prayers. What's on your mind? You know the people in Grappenhall. I know people in Willand and Grappenhall. But let's just pray and ask God to take our needs and deal with them. Father, we thank you that you do take what we need and you do deal with them. We've seen it so many times and we believe that this is no exception, that we can bring the needs of our church and our families to you. So bless each one as they pray. You will need to unmute yourself.
Pray for all those who are recovering from COVID. We know that recovery can take a long time. Just be with the people who we know to be affected. Be with them every step of the way, Lord.
We pray for the staff on the ITU at Warrington Hospital.
Lord, we ask you. Ask your blessing on Patricia MacArthur as she mourns the loss of a second son. We ask, Lord, that you'll uphold her in your strength and that she'll know your presence and your blessing.
Pray for those living alone, those who are suffering great loneliness right now. Think of them and help us however we can. Thank you, Lord.
Be with our families, Lord. Even though we're not with them, we know that they are there if we need them. Amen.
We think of people who belong to our church, who would normally worship with us, who are unable to be on Zoom or meet us in any other way. Pray, Lord, that you will bless them in the spirit. Amen.
So, Father, we thank you that you will take our requests and, Lord, that you will deal with them in your world. We thank you for the fellowship here. We thank you for the close family ties. And we know, Lord, that it's you that have made it happen. So we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So our closing hymn is one that I always remember from annual meeting. I'll go in the strength of the Lord, because we're going from here, we're going back to where we were before the service. So whatever issues you had, apart from the ones you brought to God, you no longer, you don't have those anymore. But we're going to go out and we're going to go in the strength of the Lord, which means that we're going to be blessed, we're going to be successful, and we're going to get closer to each other. So we'll have the last hymn, please. Just had to be the Salvation Army, didn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else could do the same justice, except Independent Methodist annual meeting. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Saviour be glory, majesty, power and authority, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Thanks, Ray. Now the proper notices, now I've got my head together. next Sunday is Michael Pollard. It's down on my extreme left. I don't know where it is on your screens, but Michael will be... Michael, give us it all a wave.
Right. Hello! I am waving, but for some reason, me videos, there you are. I'll stop waving now.
We're spotted.
Get that unseen too.
But it better be resolved by next week. Michael will be leading our service next week. I say Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, the quiz hour. Can we call it the quiz hour? Janice won last time. Single-handedly, so there's a challenge there. She got 39 points, if I remember rightly.
Oh. And,
big score. And then Wednesday night, we have a Deacons Leaders meeting. We're coming to the period of Lent, and we are going to hold a Zoom... I've sent the booklet. We're going to study for 6 Tuesdays the prayers of Jesus, starting with the Lord's Prayer. It'll last for 1 hour, between 8 and 9. There is a booklet available, as you can see. It's called The Prayers of Jesus, and you can find it on Amazon or Eden Christian Bookshop, wherever. You don't need a booklet, because whoever's leading will probably be myself or Roy or somebody will guide us through the study. So please come along and join it. Just be 1 hour. Lenten study begins Tuesday, 23rd of February. Also, something else for Lent. It's doing something positive in Lent. Many years ago, I worked in Manchester, and a colleague of mine was a Christian, and he we talked about Lent, and he said we should do something positive in Lent. It shouldn't all be denial, like we should take cakes or whatever. We should do something we don't normally do. And a few years ago, I came across these little booklets, Love Life, Love Lent. And it directs you to do something different each day throughout Lent, something positive, something to help the world, something to help your church, something to help your friends, something to help your family. Again, freely available. I'll be putting some of these in the newsletter as guidance. But if you get hold of a copy and follow it, great. Anything else? I can't think of anything. Any else? Anybody else got any notices?
I was just wondering how Shefali is.
She's fully fit.
She's fully fit.
Yeah, she's out of quarantine.
Yeah.
There she is now.
Yeah. Are you all right for shopping?
Yeah, we're all fine. We finished quarantine, so I'm much better now. I've just got a cough, really.
Right. That's good.
Well, I thought you had no symptoms.
You can leave after, like, you feel better. So they said it's fine if you've got a cough. So I decided to finish my isolation.
Is it good to be out of your bedroom?
Yes, it is. It's good to be out and about and see people.
Good. Well, that's a positive story.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to see you anyhow. How's your neighbour, Cliff?
I think he's still in hospital, but he's getting better.
He's getting better. He's on the recovery. That's great. Yeah. Good. Anybody else know of anybody? Any stories, personal stories, would you like to share?
No.
Right. So I hope to see as many as you as possible on Tuesday night for the quiz. And don't forget, leaders, Deacon Wednesday night, 7:30. We'll try and make it as quick as possible. Frank, are you around this week?
Yes, I'm around, yeah.
Let me have a chat with you.
All right.
Okay. Nice to see you all. Take care. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.